again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 161 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with me as always is Ben, you may also know him as Arcane.
Hey everyone.
And with us as always, well, at least for the last few weeks anyway, and steadily moving up the ranks of NLSC podcast hosts as far as total number of episodes recorded, is Kenny, who you may also know as Kenny.
Hello.
Formerly known as
Bad Religion AU, as we acknowledged last week.
That's right.
So, guys, here we are again. It's a little bit later than we usually record because we were just joking around, and then I crashed the site by trying to fix a server problem. But we appear to be back in business. If you're listening to this, then we certainly are up and running right now, I would assume. So that's good. That's always great when the site is working fine. Of course, if you do run into any problems now or any time, technically speaking, with the site, just shoot me an email, andrew@nba-live.com, so that I can get on that. You know, if you want to send me that fry picture, fix it, I'll certainly understand. But yes, we are here, as we always are each week, to talk about our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games. We have a bit of gaming news this week, guys. We also have the NBA Finals coming up, so exciting time of the year, I guess.
Yeah, it's a build-up to the hype and anticipation for the next game, so yeah.
I mean, two teams that none of us follow in the finals, and you know, a cover announcement and no details on the game, and it doesn't get more exciting than this, but but no, we do actually have a few things to talk about this week of interest. As we said, that is our favorite topics, basketball and basketball video games. So without any further ado, let's get started. And I guess the first thing that we'll talk about this week is the cover announcement for NBA 2K17 that was announced to be on June 1st. June 1st has come and gone, and it has been revealed. And guys, it's Paul George, who I guess a lot of people did see coming because he was in that trailer for the Legend Edition, which of course features Kobe Bryant on the cover, but he is indeed the main cover player this year.
Yeah, and he was the cover boy for the mobile app. So
the app, yep.
So yeah, it makes sense, I think.
It definitely seemed like they were going to do more with him after that. I did think there was a pretty good chance that Stephen Curry might be named cover player again. Certainly wouldn't have been a bad choice.
Yeah, I was thinking that they might do like a dynamic duos cover, and I thought they were originally from, you know, heard the announcement was coming and I had the date wrong of when they were going to do it, and I thought they were going to do it right before, like, the day of Game 7 of the Conference Finals. So I was thinking, oh, maybe they might do whoever wins the series kind of thing, where they'll either go Curry and Clay or Durant and Westbrook. So that was a theory I had in mind.
Well, it is George, and I think that's a pretty solid choice, really. I mean, he's had a great comeback after that horrific leg injury that I've watched once and do not care to watch again, to be honest.
Yeah, it was kind of like Bogut's horrific one where he landed on his arm. Yeah, don't really want to see it to begin.
And something that's interesting about, or noteworthy, I should say, about the cover, because I use the word interesting so much, a noteworthy detail to pay attention to on the cover is the fact that one of the photos of him in the background, he's wearing a Team USA jersey, which has given rise to speculation that perhaps FIBA teams will be in NBA 2K17, which that's an addition that people have been wanting. We used to be in NBA Live, but we haven't had one in a game for quite some time. The EuroLeague teams, of course, in 2K, but not FIBA.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember what year it was, but 2K did have like some of the dream teams and stuff like that, so where they're doing that, especially with it this year being an Olympic year, makes sense that they'll do it. So yeah, it's would be cool to see like the return of that kind of stuff. So, you know, just an extra game mode, if you know, and you know, a good way to play against different players from around the world and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm hoping that something like that's added in.
So you've just noted, and I forgot to mention this in our news post, but the game is shipping on September 20th, is it?
Yeah, this is just what I saw Twitter from OS and that, so that's where I grabbed it from. And yeah, it's like if you pre-order it, you get it 4 days early.
So they're doing the early tip-off weekend again this year,
Yeah,
obviously.
yeah.
Any other details on pre-orders? On pre-order bonuses, there is pre-order bonuses for the Legend Edition. I was looking around earlier today just to see whether there was any.
Didn't.
Because I was also noticing there's a gold edition of. Oh, here we go. This is from Operation Sports. I'm just reading this now. So there's a standard edition, which has a pre-order bonus of 5,000 virtual currency, a My Team bundle, including 3 packs with a guaranteed Paul George free agent card, and more to be revealed at a future date. The Kobe Bryant Legend Edition, that's the one that was reported before. It has limited edition Kobe poster, Black Mamba controller skin, 2 Panini Kobe trading cards. There's physical items, digital content, 30,000 VC, My Team bundle, 3 packs with a guaranteed Kobe card, 2K Kobe, 11 shoe, Kobe number 8 Mitchell & Ness in-game jersey, Kobe hoodie, and more. So that's obviously player content for the closet. And the gold edition has 70,000 VC. Oh, sorry, 70,000 additional virtual currency, so 100,000 VC in total. 2 additional My Team packs with a guaranteed MJ free agent card, Nike Kobe shoe collection, and a special Kobe cover insert, and the same as the regular Kobe Legend Edition. So there's 3 different editions that you can purchase, pre-order, 2 with Kobe and 1 with Paul George. Kenny, which way do you think you'll go?
Probably Paul George, I
Paul
think.
George?
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't say I was surprised by the Paul George cover selection, but I thought there might have been other candidates that kind of would have been more suitable, like maybe Kyrie Irving, since he was in the ad as well. But
True.
yeah, I mean, I think Paul George is pretty solid. So, and since NBA Live isn't going to release until like early next year, they don't have like another game that they have to compete against as far as like the cover player is concerned. So, I mean, they couldn't really lose with it, I don't think.
No. That I have to admit that I was thinking of saving some money and going for the regular version this year, and obviously Kobe, while I respect his talent, is not one of my personal favorites. But that gold edition, since it does have MJ cards, okay, 2K, you've got me, you really me back in, damn it. I'll at least consider that gold edition card. I mean, a gold edition card, gold edition pre-order option. See how much that says it's $99.99 US, so it's probably going to be about 300 Australian. At least 120, I would say. I'll consider it. I think the gold edition. How about you, Ben? Because you and I both went the MJ edition last year.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to spend. I don't think I'm going to spend that much. It was even after the weekend. It was like, am I even going to skip this year just to sort of
Ooh.
recharge and fresh? So, yeah, I don't know. At the moment, if we get one, it would probably be the basic edition.
Okay.
But yeah,
I mean, let's see how my finance goes. I mean,
that's the other thing that's got, poses a question and.
it's a few months away for me, so yeah. JB Hi-Fi, I think, has a dollar pre-order policy, so I can pay the rest off later. At least it's not through EB Games, because then it would be about 150 or more. No doubt. This is, of course, coming from the person who spent $170 or whatever on the Pip-Boy edition of Fallout 4, so.
And I just spent $200 on the well, both you and I did, Kenny, $200
Yep.
on the Libertalia edition of Uncharted 4, so.
So what we're saying is that we're going to pre-order about 3 copies of this,
And
so.
also, I'll just throw this out there. Back when it came out, I spent $150 on the Duke Nukem Forever box. So I think I'm the
Ouch.
biggest idiot out of us all.
Come get some. But yes, I will make up my mind, obviously. But yeah, that MJ card, those MJ cards, okay. You so again, that's kind of got my attention. So
It was that gold one that had the squeaky teen voice thing for a second. It was the gold one that had that 100,000 VC, did you say?
That too, yeah. It's the 30,000 of the Legend Edition plus an extra 70,000 for 100,000 VC.
Okay.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are 99 straight away, or at least maxed out high 80s. So
I was just thinking, how many Jarnell Stokes cards can I get with that?
Wow, that's a good question.
All of them?
Sold out. You know, while NBA Live is obviously taking a risk coming out later, you know, we talked about that before, and hopefully it's a risk worth taking as far as putting out the game that's better. And we're going to talk a little bit more about NBA Live 17 in a little while. But I have struggled to fit both games in this year, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to being able to play a lot of 2K through those first couple of months and then picking up Live early in 2017. And yeah, then sort of getting into that more. So, I mean, I don't think that should always be the way, but perhaps this year, so that I can really establish myself as really liking my league or my team, or really getting into some of the modes I haven't been able to because I've been trying to split it between the two games and not really getting engrossed in some of the modes that I'd really like to in 2K, and Live for that matter. I kind of, as a gamer who does get both games every year, I'm certainly looking for the silver lining. I think that's it, basically.
That's fair. And yeah, I mean, that poses the situation does work out fairly well, because probably by the time Live comes out, given that, you know, it's potentially to the end of the first quarter next year, which we've mentioned, you know, is March 31st, and that, you know, that gives you quite a few months of 2K, and you probably have probably started to play enough where the interest is dying down in that. So, you know, something new and all that, yes, will be intriguing, and, you know, so...
Yeah, maybe you've played through a season or two, you've seen the story in my career.
Yeah.
Because I should not be a story again, so... Although we're not invited to be the story this year, so... Maybe they're taking a slightly different path with it. That wouldn't be such a bad move in my book.
Yeah.
But my feelings on that have been made very clear over the years. I would assume so. I shall not harp on that anymore. But speaking of NBA Live 17, another noteworthy tidbit was passed along by Cedric. Thanks again for the heads up on this one. And this actually comes to us via the YouTube video by Muslim Goku, who is also the basketball gaming community, obviously, and that comes from Jamario Moon's Instagram account originally. And Jamario Moon, of course, former NBA player, had a couple of stints with the Raptors and Cavs, I think.
Yeah, Cavs, yeah.
And possibly another couple of teams, but anyway, had a few stints around the NBA a few years back, and he's apparently performing motion capture for NBA Live 17 because he posted a video of himself in the mocap suit in the studio, and certainly said they were coming for 2K, which is a bold prediction. So we're not the only ones making a bold prediction, but certainly they're obviously wanting to do all they can. And while it doesn't really give that much of an insight into the development of NBA Live 17 or anything, I do think this is an encouraging sign. Not because I think Jamario Moon is what the game has necessarily been missing. But, you know, there's been so much speculation, especially with the game being pushed back, that, you know, oh, they're going to go to the mobile and this is going to be a way they transition out of the console market, and how they're going to ease us into cancelling NBA Live 17 and everything. And look, obviously with Live's history and some of the shaky things that have gone on with Live 13 being cancelled, Elite being cancelled, Live 15 being pushed back, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, there's no way that nothing bad will happen to Live 17, but clearly they are working on a traditional console AAA version of NBA Live 17, because they wouldn't be, I don't think they'd be going to this much trouble of all this motion capture for, you know, essentially Ultimate Team on your phone.
Yeah.
With NBA Live Mobile. So yeah, I saw that and thought, well, that's a pretty good sign that the wheels are still in motion, that NBA Live Mobile might be the focus in the short term, or they certainly have people, a team working on that, but the console game, you know, I see that. I think, well, I don't think it's dead yet.
I mean, it's a positive sign that there's, you know, that they are working on things still, and, you know, that we'll at least get one more console version, even though, yeah, it'd be late.
I just would like to add, with the whole Jim Mario Moon thing, he was a really entertaining in-game dunker, so I think that's something that we could really look forward to in NBA Live 17.
Yeah, and was it, he was in the dunk contest.
He was, yeah.
Did he try the alley-oop from the free throw line and just didn't pull it off? I remember him trying that, because...
I need to double-check, but it would surprise me.
Because I remember being a little bit disappointed that his dunk contest performance wasn't better, because his in-game dunks were spectacular.
Yeah.
Which is the case. Remember Shannon Brown when he got into the contest?
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way.
Whole hype campaign to get him in. And
just the way it goes sometimes, I guess. Yeah.
I think it sets a pretty cool precedent as well, like for other players that might not be in the league but still have the athleticism to pull off those dunks. You know, a brand like EA could hire them to do mocap, like, you know, guys like James White or... I'm just trying to think of some others.
He's usually done mocap for 2K.
Oh, has he? Okay. Yeah. I did not know that, so... But, that's still interesting.
Yeah. I see.
No, I think that's a good idea, too, obviously, to use whatever resources they can. The more current players they can get in whenever, especially for face scans, the better. But
I just think...
Certainly utilize any talent you can get hold of, absolutely.
Yeah, those... I just think, like, those free agent guys... it's kind of more feasible because they don't really have as much of a schedule to work around. So,
yeah,
they can do it in between whatever league they're playing in now, or if they have hung it up but are still, as you said, fairly close to having played in the last few years, which Moon has. That seems like a good move to me. And they brought in the former Globetrotter and our basketball development coach, whose name I'm afraid is escaping me at the moment. They're still...
Well, they've brought it... damn it. Yeah, I forgot his name. Kiki
Vanderway?
He was helping out with... Not so much with mocap, but, you know, helping out as like a...
Oh, they did that as well.
Yeah, so...
Derek Grant is the player I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Former Globetrotter and basketball development coach.
That's right. That was earlier this year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was February, according to the looking back through our archives. So, again, they seem to be going all out on this. Still, on, you know, as far as we can tell, they're still working on it behind the scenes at any rate, to say the very least. So, now I understand people's skepticism. Some people have felt too burned by the product, and that's understandable, obviously, and so forth. But yeah, it doesn't seem like they're canceling it. So what happens beyond NBA Live 17, as you said, Ben, remains to be seen, because I'm not sure when their contract goes through. Although I do know that Sean, in the last interview that we had on the podcast, did refer to an NBA Live 18. So that's the intention, whether that's the feasibility or what happens there, but...
Yeah, and I guess, you know, with the other rumored story that came out, was it today as well?
Okay, yep, the Frostbite engine. So, that, yeah. I mean, that's a good segue into the next thing we should probably discuss, which is there's an article came out that with sources, the infamous sources, saying that EA Sports, beginning with FIFA 17... will begin transitioning into from the Ignite engine to the Frostbite engine, which has been used for Battlefield,
Battlefront, Star Wars.
Battlefront, sorry, not Battlefield.
No, well, both because the Star Wars Battlefront, and then obviously the first person military shooter, which is Battlefield.
Right.
The new Mass Effect game is using it as well.
Yep.
Mirror's Edge, I think I read as well.
Battlefield, Battlefront, Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Need for Speed, Mirror's Edge. So,
and I think possibly the upcoming Amy Henning Star Wars game, and obviously Battlefront 2, which is coming out this year as well. We'll use it.
So this article from Game Informer does mention all those titles, and it basically says that multiple sources tell them that FIFA, Madden, NHL, and NBA Live will be transitioned to the Frostbite engine over the course of the next few years. Although it does say that while FIFA 17 is the first, Madden NFL 17, NHL 17, and NBA Live 17 are still using the Ignite engine, each expected to convert in the near future from Ignite, obviously. But as you brought up before we started recording, Ben, you do wonder, with Live being delayed, whether that's allowing for it.
Yeah, I mean, it could make sense that that's why the game's being delayed, that, you know, it's like, well, might as well cut our losses now and convert it over. Yeah, we'll take a short-term hit, but hopefully the long-term gain will be more time on actually using that engine for future releases and that. So it's a possibility, but I'm then wonder how that affects the game modes, like how much time have they had with this, with the Frostbite engine, and
that's the concern, because
converting assets and all that stuff, and it's like, could it be,
because I mean, that's trying to rebuild the game has been, you know, a slow process, and I guess a painful process for a lot of people wanting to get roster editing back in the game, All-Star Weekend, Deeper Dynasty, Deeper Rising Star, all that good stuff. We've talked about that many times before, and hopefully it happens. It must happen, and I think a lot of it has to happen in NBA Live 17. You know, it can't just be a fancy new engine. There needs to be that depth, because it has been missing in the rebuilding process. But yeah, I just hope that it's not another Xbox 360 reboot, basically.
Yeah.
You know, the Xbox 360 PS3 era reboot, where, you know, we started out with NBA Live 06 on 360. NBA Live 06 on PC is one of my all-time favorite games, basketball games, and games period, but certainly basketball games. One of the most complete releases that EA Sports has ever done with NBA Live. NBA Live 06 on Xbox 360, on the other hand, yeah, that was probably a better game than it was given credit for in some ways, and I'm coming up on doing the retrospective on that, I suppose, for the 20th anniversary. It'll be coming up very shortly anyway, so I'll give more thoughts then, but yeah, cheap plug. but it certainly was less than the PC version, which is the PS2 port, because it just didn't have... It was just so bare bones, which has been the accusation leveled at Live, even with Live 16 making some really nice gameplay adjustments. The depth of Dynasty and everything has just not been there. Mm. So, yeah. Whatever transition happens with the engine, if it's for the best, then absolutely pull the trigger on it. You know, do what you must. And if all the titles are going for it, obviously they believe in that technology. So, you know, I'll trust in that, I guess. But yeah, it can't set the game back in any other areas.
And the Frostbite engine is a really nice engine. Like, the graphics that it produces for, like, Battlefront and Battlefield and that, and even Need for Speed. Like, Need for Speed and Drive Club are the two best visual looking racing games, and that, in ways, I don't know, it's the style of camera or the setting and stuff in the camera that probably gives Need for Speed an edge in some ways, because it looks kind of more Hollywood movie, maybe, but yeah, just something about, so I think it's a smart move, and maybe they've reached the potential that they could with Ignite, but which is kind of surprised. I was thinking it may last, and, you know, probably throughout the generation. And given to see what Ignite was doing, like the engine was in UFC and UFC 2, and that how good the player models are, and the way the bodies are in terms of muscle movement and facial movements and bruising and player impact and all that stuff for when contact is made. So yeah, it's an interesting move. I hope it does pay off. And you know, seeing how gorgeous some of the games can look actually on the Frostbite engine, it gives some hope and potential. I think probably, you know, one of the criticisms of Live, it didn't look as great.
It didn't kind of look next gen, especially Live 14.
Yeah,
it looked in between the 360 and the 360 PS3. what, 6th gen and 7th gen, is that?
This is the 8th gen.
It's between 7th and 8th gen. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
yeah, it was yeah. Hopefully it's a bold move that will pay off in the end, and you know, the reasons why they decide to do it, hopefully that pays off for them. And hopefully we get a good product out of it too. Like,
absolutely.
That's the important thing. You know, we get a quality product in the end.
I would rather they make the change earlier than try to spend 5, 6, 7 years on tech that's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
So if Frostbite if the move is for the best and it doesn't hold it back, then, well, fingers crossed that whatever happens early next year, whether they are just holding back Live 17 to add some more to the Ignite engine, or whether they are actually quietly transitioning that one to Frostbite earlier than some of the other titles, because you know they need to really give the Live brand a shot in the arm. You know, that's obviously speculation at the moment as to what they're doing, but as far as the report from Game Informer, it is not happening with Live 17 just yet. It's still using the Ignite engine. So that's what I'll say. That's what they're reporting. So I guess we'll say that's what, as far as we know, that's what's going to happen with NBA Live 17. But at some point, it would appear to be transitioning to the Frostbite engine. So before we move on, did you have any thoughts you wanted to add on that, Kenny?
I mean, all I can really say is that if it's good enough for the new Mass Effect game, then, you know, I think it'll probably be an improvement for NBA Live, because I guess that's just my personal point of view, because Mass Effect is one of my favorite gaming series of all time, and it generally looks amazing. And if the new Mass Effect game is going to be on this engine, then it's probably going to be really high quality. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what NBA Live can do with it.
I think, too, like, another thing that Frostbite can do is actually support VR. So, because the PlayStation version of Battlefront is getting a PlayStation VR version. So, whether, you know, something down the track, I mean, there's rumors that the updated Xbox One or 1.5 or 2 or codename Scorpio could actually support VR, because apparently developers come out and said, yeah, we're developing VR for Microsoft for Xbox. So,
see, I just think they should use the Creation Engine, which was used in Fallout 4, so that I can use my Pip-Boy to as well for a couple of... Seems pretty wasteful for one game, but we will obviously cover that more as more details come through. Once again, just to recap, NBA Live 17 reportedly still using the Ignite engine, but EA transitioning to the Frostbite engine. So we'll see. We'll see whether that's been the cause of the delay or whether that's a future development. But either way, yeah, interesting times for the Live series and EA in general, because yeah, it's obviously the Frostbite engine is giving them something that Ignite could not ignite, shall we say. It's late at night, guys. My puns are just, you know, even worse than usual. That's barely a pun. That's barely a play on words. But before we talk about what we've been playing and doing with Possible Games this week, just want to remind everyone, if you're listening to this in June, if you're listening to this in the future, after June 2016, then I can't really help you out with this. But in June, I think June 7th, at least in the PAL regions, NBA 2K16 will be coming to PlayStation Plus. So if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber on PlayStation 4, you'll be able to get the PS4 version of NBA 2K16 absolutely free. Well, you know, if you've got to be paying for the subscription, obviously. Yeah. You know, that's pointed out to us whenever we say you get the games free. I guess technically you don't, but at no extra cost. Hey, guys, you tell me the wording to use, but basically, if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber...
As long as you're subscribed, you can play these games.
It's, we have had people point out to us that it's... when we've said that it's free to play or whatever, that technically you have to pay for the subscription, which I always mention in the bulletins, just saying.
Yeah.
But, yes, if you do have PlayStation Plus, you can get NBA 2K16. So, if you have a PS4 and you haven't picked up the game yet, or if you have the PC version perhaps and you want to double dip on PS4 and you're paying for the PlayStation Plus, well, might as well go ahead. You can just add it to the collection and download it whenever you've got the time and the download limit, shall we say, because that's depending on your plan. That may not be able to just whip it.
If you're anything on like download. Yo MBN.
Yeah. But I believe this is the first basketball game that's come to PlayStation Plus, because, of course, it's available in the NBA Live 16 is now available in the Vault for EA Access members on Xbox One. So I think this might be the first one for PlayStation, is it not?
Yeah.
Well, actually, 2K, is it 2K13 or one of the games came out for PS3 last year?
Oh, okay. Well, at least for this generation, yeah, it seems like it.
Or might have been 2K15 for PS3. Which I know I claimed, even though I don't have a PS3. I just claimed it online. But... So if I ever pick up a PS3 secondhand, I guess I can download that. But yes, it's I think it's as you said, been the first one on this generation. So get on that if you haven't picked up NBA 2K16 for PS4 yet, and you have the subscription. And you know, we've talked about it before, how much we enjoy it, and I guess we'll probably mention it again, especially as it has come time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
Now, guys, we played some more Pro-Am last week, and it got a little ugly. Yeah. I won't lie. Like uglier than some of our other games. It was tough. It was tough.
Yeah, it left us more frustrated than anything. And, yeah, the game, like, after you left was... Oh, that was... that was just crap. Most of us just end up falling out or getting kicked out because of bad rating. So
it got to 2 in the morning, and if we'd been winning, well, if we'd been having some competitive games and enjoying ourselves, I probably would have stuck around till about 3 in the morning. But yeah, I had to love you and leave you guys, because that was rough. And I felt with my 74 overall player, you know, getting climbing up, using the app and some other ways of boosting it, legal ways of boosting my player, a bit of my career and whatnot, slowly climbing the ladder. But yeah, I had to call it a night after some of those games we played. But I'll leave it to you, Kenny, to recap some of the highlights, for lack of a better word.
So over the two nights, we had 2 wins overall, which is not that great, really, considering really. I think we played probably like 10 to 12 games. So that win-loss ratio really blew out. And who did we have play? We had the usual people, and then we had Zuzu Cool J 21, I want to say. That's the number.
Yes.
He played the last game with us on Saturday when we were all frustrated and jaded by not getting calls and all sorts of glorious things in 2K Pro-Am. So I'd like to take this opportunity to not so much apologize to him for such a bad game, but
considering you just invited him in and basically we ended up really playing like half a game.
Because, I mean... he wasn't in the party conversation with us, so he was just kind of, I don't know. He was just exiled. In a way, he kind of, he didn't know the context of the situation or anything like that. I just pretty much invited him cold. But, that was a really ugly game, that last one we had, and so much so that I intentionally fouled out of it, which I never do. I usually play until the end, or at least until I get like booted for a teammate grade or foul. Like, usually when I foul out, it's pretty organic. Like, it's usually because shooting fouls or, you know, finicky reach-in fouls where I just hit square once and it goes into an animation. But yeah, that those two nights of playing Pro-Am were very forgettable.
I mean, you talk about road to the finals, and congratulations to the Drukabockers, who had an 11-point win in the road to the finals tournament. So, you know, happy spending of the $250,000 and enjoy the trip to the NBA finals. Our Pro-Am experience is more like road to the lottery road to the finals. We did pick up one win over a team that had a very disturbing... I don't really want to give too many details of the name, but I just hope the person whose photo they're using knows about it, is all I want to say. That was... we were all kind of creeped out.
I have to add this well, that I did make that highlight video, but I put it as unlisted for that fact, because I think later on I might end up like censoring out the photo or something. I mean, I can't do it with the uniforms because it was on the uniforms as well, but
it's just like all the blurs.
Yeah,
it's just like a whole blurry thing. It's like the old, for a while there, the WWE couldn't use the initials WWF. The old scratch logo for WWF because they lost the lawsuit to World Wildlife Fund.
Yeah, I think we're Rock saying we lost to a bunch of pandas.
So in all their DVDs for a while, they had to censor out. They could say World Wrestling Federation, but they had to silence whenever they said WWF. There was blurs like all over the ring because, you know, the logos on the turnbuckle and everything else. There was for a while there was just... Fortunately, they've come to an agreement since, so they don't have to do that anymore. But wow, it was.
I mean,
yeah. So it would be like that if you wanted to censor that video much.
Yeah. But... I mean, the face isn't that noticeable on the jersey, but when it comes up on the halftime scorecard, that's kind of, yeah, I think that's where I'll be ended up. That's where I'll end up censoring it because, I just hope they've got that person's permission to use that photo. And I think it's the same with another team as well, but. That we played, but I have a feeling that...
Oh, is that Creepy Face guy?
No, it was one...
That was disturbing.
That was disturbing as well, but there was another one that was of like a kid or something, and I have a feeling that he might have been on the team itself, but I probably shouldn't make that assumption, but yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't go to the trouble, but yeah, I mean, I think for our purposes, I'd feel more comfortable if we... took the high road on that one.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of highlights, I guess, to this year. I think we ran a bit into the trouble of all being player one as well. We were all kind of just taking it in and taking some bad shots inside, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think contested layups are just... They kill, like, pretty much all the momentum we have, like, on the offensive end. And I think probably need to, like, I'm a major, I'm really guilty of this, like, driving to the hoop when there's, like, people, like, in front of me and stuff like that. Like, those shots are generally not very smart to take. I think I probably need to take more from mid-range and stuff like that, which, you know, somebody like Daryl Morey would just be, like, swearing at me over, I'm sure, but... you know, those shots, you need to take them from time to time. And
well, when they were dropping, Russell Westbrook in real life was making a lot of those shots from the top of the key against the Thunder. They stopped falling at the really bad time.
Yeah.
But you know, it, rather than just driving into traffic, if you don't have the 3-point shot and you don't have the layup, then that you might as well pull up from mid range or a little floater or something. I keep forgetting about the floater. In fact. The one time I did it, it said it was a bad shot selection, yet it went in. It was a pretty good shot, I thought.
Yeah, but... and we were dealing with a lot of that team-grade logic as well, because there was one time where I lost the ball, but I was fouled, and I got, like, most of my teammate grade. I, like, got dropped down a grade for losing the ball, but then it went up ever so slightly for drawing the foul, and I was like, I lost the ball because I drew the foul. Like, that's how it happened.
Wasn't there that instance where I passed it to someone? It was to Leo, wasn't it? And then he lost like half a grade thing for like a turnover or some crap like. And he was he was cut.
I was throwing some pretty good turnover passes.
Your passes just sailed out of bounds. So
the funny thing is, I was connecting on them, and then for three straight plays in a totally different game, they just kept. Sailing over Leo's head, and like I guess I was getting hit by the nerf of the outlet pass, but they were probably easier than some of the passes that I did make in that same game and had been making. Yeah. So
if it makes you feel any better, Derek Rose does the exact same thing in my league. So
Oh, okay. That's good to know. That's good to know. It was a case where, you know, the frustration sets in. Everyone's trying to play hero ball. It was very Thunder towards the end there. Basically, we're all sort of trying to take over and such. We didn't really have any chemistry. Given.
We're always a really good first quarter team, but yeah, we just seem to drop off somewhere.
And... Oh man, if the game was 5 minutes long, our record, can you imagine? It would just...
Because I posted that one video of like when we had five and we all played really well in the first quarter, but then I think we ended up losing by 40 or 50 or something. Ooh. Something just went wrong. Really.
That really terrible game where we just, yeah. We also kind of, once we got down by 20 in that one, we kind of got very loose, I think.
Yeah, we just didn't care. And...
It's those perimeter shots. The threes are just absolutely kill you in that mode.
Yeah.
They kill us when we take them, and they also kill us when they take them.
Yeah.
We're opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, also, another thing is we grew up in an era where we learned that taking a three early in the possession is letting the other team off the hook. So we're trying to get the best shot at the rim every single possession, and the other team take that early shot and they make it. And it's like, okay, that goes against everything that we were taught when we were like learning basketball growing up. So
yeah, the three was the last resort, and only if you could get, you know, open in that. So
yeah. Well, I mean, if we were taking on these guys in NBA Live 95, we'd pop them off the floor with them. Now, where's this? Especially on PC. Where's the steal button? Oh, there's no steal button. Not on PC. How do you steal? You just position the player very close to the other one. That's stupid. Yes, it is, but we just put up with it. And when they gave us a steal button in NBA Live 98, we wept with joy. Wept with joy, we did.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, it's a sign of the way the NBA is going, though, I think. Like, with the amount of threes that get taken in NBA Pro-Am, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the last two All-Star games.
Yeah.
Do I have to?
Kyle Korver could have won MVP of one of those. I'm just saying.
Enough said. But, you know, even though it has, you have a rough weekend every now and again. Like you said, the first time I played with you guys, Kenny, you know, you sort of see the best and the worst every time you play Pro-Am sometimes, you know, the really fun moments. But it's still fun to get together with you guys and chatter on in the party chat and, you know, make jokes and still, when it goes well, you know, when the actual gameplay goes well, you have a lot of fun. But, yeah, we just ran into a brick wall
and last week. Just talking about it now just makes me want to play again. Like... That's the thing, like...
Actually, it does, yeah. We'll have to get onto it again.
And
that's the only reason why I've actually enjoyed the program is, you know, the whole conversation.
The social aspect of it.
Yeah, you know, just the moments when we're, like, losing badly because of, you know, those frustrating players or logic moments and stuff, that's when it turns... It's like when I switch off, like, in terms of not enjoying it as much, but... You know, just the banter and trying to make Leo piss himself laughing when he chokes on these free throws. That, you know, that's fun.
Which ultimately doesn't help our team, but it is quite amusing.
Well, when you're down by 30 at the time, it's sort of like, you know. You know, we did commit the cardinal sin. We mentioned a couple of times the name that we're not supposed to name.
Yeah.
Mention, so that clearly was the problem. We jinxed ourselves. It had nothing to do with our on-court decisions. It was clearly karma, clearly kismet. So
you know, I'm actually using his jump shot at the moment, and maybe that's why we're playing so badly. I need to change it back to what I had before, that's, the generic one.
We all need to get Kevin Duckworth, basically.
Yeah. Oh man, that's an amazing jump shot. I'm just trying to think of which other jump shot I could use instead. I think I might have...
Anthony Mason in the game?
Ooh, I don't know. I might have Ray Allen, actually, available to me. And that would be a nice one. Because Ray Allen has, like, one of my favorite jump shots of all time. So...
I've always liked Glenn Rice's.
Yeah, Glenn Rice has got a nice one. Who else was there?
I don't think it's in the game, but just putting it out there.
Leo's using Kyle Korver at the moment, which is also one of my favorite ones.
I may be using generic probably. So.
I think I am as well.
You can unlock more jump shots by doing connections. That's how I got Kyrie Irving's one, and I've got a few others as well.
I gotta get through the second season before I can do that, Kenny. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Right now, I'm just trying to be the story, man, okay?
Riding that wave.
Right now, I'm still frequency vibrations, so yeah.
Oh, man.
The only other thing I wanted to mention this week with basketball gaming, obviously want to give another cheap plug to my NBA Stephen Curry and NBA Live 95 video that I made yesterday. Judging by some of the responses, people seem to have enjoyed that. Certainly was fun to do, except I had one of the most amazing highlights I've ever had in close to 2 decades of playing that game on PC, NBA Live 95, where at a furious rally, I was down by 3 with a second left. I hit a turnaround fadeaway three-pointer from half court with Latrell Sprewell to force overtime. And I thought, fantastic, I'm recording this footage. You know, I'll chuck the footage up, you know, the raw footage as well as doing the video on it. It's definitely going in the video. Finish the game, win after that shot. I look, and I hadn't started the DOSBox recording, had I? So one of the greatest accomplishments I'll ever have on the virtual hardwood, and you'll just have to take my word for it.
No, but if Sprewell didn't have to feed his family, he would come over there right now and choke you.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, he didn't choke in the game. Let's put it that way. But did have a couple more fun games. You can also download the little mod that I put together to put Stephen Curry in the game. Had to make a Quantum Leap reference in the video because I replaced Dole Curry with Stephen Curry, so Quantum Leap style. And that was fun. And also made a couple of logo patches for NBA Live 2005 through 08 for the Kings and the Jazz. You guys know how I feel about those logos because we've talked about them on the podcast before, and having stared at them for several hours making logo patches, I don't really like them anymore than I did before. So, but you can download those anyway. I haven't released them on the main page yet, but they are in the forum and in the download section. So if you are still playing those games, go and grab them. And just go to the forum, go to the one of those sections, NBA Live 08 through or NBA Live 2005 through 08 rather, and you'll be able to find that in my release thread. But unless you guys have got any other stories from the past week in gaming, perhaps we can move on to the NBA chatter this week.
I'd just like to mention that I started playing a bit more of the My League with the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, that's right. Yep, go ahead.
So I think at the moment I am one game over 500 and I've played about 7 games maybe. But it's been a lot of fun actually, which is kind of surprising considering like the shape the Bulls were in this season. But I've made some...
Although one game over 500 is about how well they're doing. So
yeah, they 42 and 40, I think, was their mark.
Yep.
So
2 games over 500, that's right, yeah.
So yeah, I made some...
Or a game over 500, yeah.
I made some interesting additions that have made the team like pretty fun. Like I get a lot of good bench play from Festus Ezeli and Matthew Dellavedova and Kyle Korver. So that's kind of interesting when they come into the game. I'm using the word interesting a lot too now, but
you see, it happens. Interestingly,
but I have this dilemma where I have 3 power forwards in my rotation, and I kind of think I need to trade one of them. But the one I was going to trade hit my first game-winning shot of the season, so it's Taj Gibson, who's on the last year of his contract, and I don't really want to trade him because I actually like Taj Gibson quite a lot. Like, he offers really good defense and pretty much solid all around. There's Bobby Portis, who pretty good stretch four at times. I'd like to develop him a bit more, and perhaps like if I don't offer Taj Gibson a new contract, he'll replace him as a starter. And then there's Nikola Mirotic, who I was dead set on trading, but then I hit a last second shot with him to win the game against the New York Knicks. So now I'm considering, like, I'm thinking, you know, Mirotic, I don't really like him at small forward because he's not a really good defender, but at the same time, he kind of offers a fair bit of versatility on the bench. So yeah, it's a nice little dilemma to have, I guess, to have like 3 pretty solid players at power forward.
Too much talent at the position.
Yeah. So I'm not sure which way to go with that, but yeah.
How's the backcourt looking?
Derrick Rose having a pretty good year so far. Had some pretty decent moments with him. Jimmy Butler
no injuries. No injuries yet.
Not yet. No. Touch wood, but
it's the word yet. We got to throw that in there. That's
Jimmy Butler's kind of like he's constantly at least like a 5x5 threat because he's like really good on the defensive end and he grabs a lot of rebounds for me as well. Kyle Korver's pretty good off the bench. So is Dellavedova. So the backcourt's solid. I think the biggest weakness in the game I have is at small forward. I have Doug McDermott starting there, who's solid enough. But, it's who's on the bench. It's kind of, that's why I'm thinking of trading Mirotić, because aside from Mirotić backing him up at small forward, I have Dunleavy and Tony Snell, and I need something a little more solid than that. So I was thinking Wilson Chandler.
That's how it goes for the real Bulls, too. Yeah. So
I was hoping to get Wilson Chandler for Mirotić and Dunleavy at some point, but what do you think, Andrew? Would I be ripping off the Nuggets if I did that?
Yeah, but I don't care. I mean, it's funny because there has been some Wilson Chandler the Bulls rumors in real life. So, you know, I also kind of like the idea of, you know, franchise modes in basketball games. And I talked about this in the Friday Five the other week. It's, if you mess it up too much with too many unrealistic trades, I think that does, it does end up ruining the experience because you weaken the opposition. You end up with this stacked team where you're just trying to get minutes for people and numbers. I think fantasy should be allowed in because that is a big part of the mode. But it is always fun when you can have some kind of connection to reality. When I traded for Boozer and Korver in my 06 dynasty with the Bulls, and which was way years ahead of it actually happening in real life, of course. But injecting little things like that make it interesting. So there's that word again. So, and that's probably an apt place to use it. No, I think that's pursuing Chandler, but like you say, you might have to give up Mirotić or someone to do that, and that means giving up someone who is actually playing for you, playing pretty well for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to give up someone who's playing for you, or not. At least someone who's on the roster. Whether they're getting playing time is immaterial, I suppose. But it's funny. I've had that as well. I remember, I think it was was it 2005 dynasty with the Bulls with Eric Pytkowski, possibly 2005. I have a bench player just played really well, and then I have to give him a start. I have to give him the start in the next game, and things like that. It's just. And as you know, having played 17 years of the next level, you know, just the attachment you can get to real players and generated players alike. I mean, can you ever top a Perko? I mean,
no, not at the moment. He was something else, I think. Yeah, that's a
triple-double machine.
He was. Yeah, average one, yeah. So that's, that's kind of a thing that I have yet to top, and I probably won't top, but I think just having real players in the league again, it kind of makes it interesting for me. So, cause there was a lot of seasons where I was playing and there weren't a lot of real players. Like the last player I had left in the league was Dwight Howard. So
yes.
Even Drew Holiday, who I predicted would be the last one, he ended up disappearing at some point. So yeah, that's,
I mean that brings up an interesting point. There it is again. But it, let's just say it brings up, you know, an important question. I guess you could say, you know, dynasty has been generally 25 years long. My league is a maximum of 80 years, which is incredible. You know, that's more than average lifespan really. And I think that absolutely. Those modes should go as long as possible because there are some people who would want to play and say, okay, well, let's have a fantasy league 20 years into the future. But on average, what do you think is a good length? I mean, again, you went 17 years, but that was I guess, an anomaly, maybe for you, certainly for a lot of people, to go that long.
Yeah.
I would imagine maybe 5 to 10 years when some of the rookies start to become veterans and looking towards retiring. You know, the rookies in the default roster, I mean. So
yeah, I generally think that's a good like when they become veterans, that's a good time to kind of hang it up, I guess. But for me lately, what I've been thinking of is just like, I think of it in terms of the contracts, because you're a GM and how long a GM's contract would go for. So at the moment I'm thinking 4 years and then reevaluate after the 4 years.
Okay.
So that's kind of where mindset
is. That's a creative way of looking at it, sure.
And if I haven't like delivered on my promise, I'd be like, okay, I can just let this one go. But yeah, I haven't played that long in like a my league or an association to kind of make that decision. So it'd be
what I'd like is an option to manually end the game,
right?
So that you can get kind of some kind of scorecard or something, or be able to. I mean, high school lists are very old school, probably yeah. More old school than they need to be, but to be able to, I guess, it end the game, you know, without having to go through the whole lot. Kind of like how you can choose to retire in my career,
yeah.
I guess.
So,
you know, it would just be nice to have that now. You get a final grade and a final, I want to use the word printout, but that's wrong. Readout, readout, display. So
as,
something.
As that thing. Like,
yes.
At the end of Uncharted 4, you get a stat thing of how long you played, how long you were standing still under in cover, attacking people.
How many times you died?
All that kind of thing. And you know, you scroll down it a fair bit, so you know there's a fair bit of information. You probably need at least 2 screenshots and that to get it all. So yeah, there's that element.
Something like that. You know, how many championships you won and your draft history, things like that.
Yeah. How you compare to other people. Like, say you play.
If you want to make it a social aspect as well, yeah.
You know, if you make it up to the 17 years, you know how many other people have done that, so you know, in sort of what percentage and all that stuff of the players who play that mode, and all. So yeah, something along the lines of that.
Yeah,
so,
even if it is just for your own records, although that is a great way of that's a great idea as well, to be able to share those accomplishments and compare.
Yeah.
Something like
just be able to end the game after 5 or 10 years and have a definitive end without having to go 80 years into the future. Again, don't take out that option to do that, but have that option to manually end before that, and get a final score, as it were, for lack of a better word, a final score.
I think episodic games do that really well. Like when you look at all the Telltale games, like Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us and stuff like that, they tell you what your choices were and stuff like that in between episodes. It's like, okay, you chose to let somebody die over another person, like, and they tell you how many percentage of people chose that way and stuff like that. So I think those games implement it really well, and like other games like Life is Strange and stuff. Like, it's cool to see how other people chose to do like their playthrough. Like,
yeah. Which again, I guess, plays back into what I don't like about the story approach to my career. And again, not to harp on it, because I've done it before, but when you don't have that variation of experience,
it's like a 10% difference. Like, it would just be a different order of when, you know, different contracts come in, you know.
And largely cosmetic as far as which school you choose and things like that. Yeah. You know, it's just having meaningful choices. I mean, obviously, if you're playing a game like a Grand Theft Auto, or even Fallout. I mean, Fallout 4 and other games do have a few branching options in the story and alternate endings and such. But yeah, I think for a very RPG-based mode, that's the way sports games work with it. Yeah, it's I'd like, you know, well, I've gone into detail about my career so many times before, but yeah, having that final score and being able to change, for lack of a better term, again, and being able to take all the twists and turns, but
see,
but yeah, that
Sorry.
To bring it back to your my league, that's that is great that you're enjoying that. I still want to get into mine before the new game comes out, before NBA 2K17 comes out. Obviously, I've got a while before NBA Live 17 does. But
I'd just like to add one more thing on top of like the whole getting a record of what you've done in my league and whatnot. One of the things I usually do when I run a my league or a dynasty or something, of that equivalent, I usually write down which players I end up signing to the team and, which years they played for the team. So even if 2K or NBA Live did something like that, where they like printed out a list of the players that played for your team, how many championships they won for you and all that kind of stuff, just to kind of like, I don't know.
An accolade sort of.
Yeah. It's just a nice little touch that they could possibly add. I don't know if like, how intensive that would be to try and, put in the code or whatever, but it would be a nice little touch for people who are association and dynasty geeks like myself and yourself, Andrew. So, like, yeah.
I happen to know a guy, so I might throw that suggestion out there. So, so yeah, we're obviously still having some fun with games as we look ahead to the next one. We know who's on the cover of one of the next games anyway, and more details obviously coming. And we'll keep everyone posted on what we're playing in the meantime, or Pro-Am, I would imagine. So check out the videos in the forum that Kenny's been putting together, and we thank you again for doing that, Kenny, because that means that's something I don't have to do then. So, and can keep pointing and laughing at the record, but we are still having fun, so that's the main thing, isn't it? So,
yeah, Kevin, you're on thin ice.
That's right. So as long as we're enjoying the games and everyone's enjoying the games, and if you are, as always, don't hesitate to get involved in the forum as well and tell us about what you're playing and give tips, whatever advice, ask questions if you've got them, and let's help each other out as a gaming community. But from the virtual hardwood to the real hardwood, well, the real hardwood that we're not playing on, but other people are, it has come time to talk about the. The real NBA for at least a little while before we wrap up this episode of the NLSC podcast. And guys, we jinxed the Thunder.
Yeah.
We jinxed the Thunder. I said that it would... This is getting ahead a little bit with the bowl predictions, but I said that the series would go at least 6 games. It went 7. Ben, you said that the Thunder would win in 6 and the Raptors would win in 7. You jinxed 2 teams there, so you've got 2 fan bases out for your blood.
And Kenny, John from a few weeks earlier, so yeah.
And Kenny, you said the Thunder would win in 5, and the Thunder did not win in 5; they blew it in 7. And that's not giving enough credit to the Warriors, who obviously they talked a lot about the heart of a champion, pulling out that Rudy Tomjanovich quote, apt I suppose, but they were resilient, and the Thunder. When push came to shove, they lost 3 in a row, including game 6 at home. And yeah, so the Warriors are back in the finals to face the Cavs.
I'm just thinking about all that crap I said about, like, oh, the Thunder won't lose because Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, they're 2 biggest stars for them to be, like, losing from 3-1 up and shit like that. Oh.
Cha-ching. Yeah. It's we jinxed them. That's
yeah, for sure. I didn't mean to swear there.
It's all good. We've had a lot worse.
I think I did a mild one. I sort of half pulled out of it when I said it earlier. So,
well, no, it is what it is. But it's what happened from here with the Thunder. I mean, it took them a while to get back to this point. As you know, Kenny, years ago, the Nuggets looked like they were on the verge of becoming a power in the West. They got to the Western Conference Finals, and then that was kind of as far as they went.
Yep.
Just because you get there once or twice, the Suns got there quite a few times and never got over the hump, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll ever take that next step. And Durant is a free agent. Obviously, that's going to be the big topic of the offseason, where he's going to go, if indeed he goes anywhere. But watching them collapse... the Thunder have they had a reputation this season for choking away games, and that certainly was a big choke, you know, big choke job to lose three straight games like that, one of them at home.
And they got off and they were leading. Start, yeah.
They were leading, and they were up by in that game seven when they were up by 13. I thought, wow, they're actually, because I predicted that the Warriors would blow them out in game seven when it got down to game seven. So when they got to up 13 points, and I know it's only 13 points, and against the Warriors that doesn't mean very much, but I thought the way it was going at the time, the way they're moving the ball and the just swarming the Warriors on defense and everything, I thought, are they going to, you know, avoid the choke and in really, you know, blowout fashion? But no, they didn't. But they were up going into the fourth quarter, and yet they blew the lead again.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Reggie Miller's very happy that it ended that way. And, you know, most analysts, I think, are, because, I mean, there seems to be a lot of love for the Warriors at the moment, and I just kind of hope that the Cavaliers can spoil the party a little bit.
Well, that I guess that comes time to say whether we think what's going to happen there. Let's put our jinx cards on the table once again. You know, I was going for the Warriors last year as much as I can without being a fan of anyone else but the Bulls. I wanted to see them win. This year, I would like to see the Cavs win, because I guess I've finally gotten over not really liking LeBron. Out of, you know, lesser of two evils, what do you want to say? this year, I would like to see the Cavs. The Cavs take it. I'd like to see the Cavs take it this year, and maybe they can meet. I would not mind if they met next year for a rubber match. I can't, as much as I know you might disagree, Kenny, because you might want to see different teams come, and I totally understand that. I don't necessarily disagree with that either, but I also kind of like the idea of, you know, like a Lakers versus Celtics thing.
Right. You
know, which, it's not necessarily the best thing, but I guess we haven't seen it happen that much outside of the Lakers and Celtics. We've sort of seen it interconference with the Bulls and the Knicks and the Bulls and the Pistons and whatnot, and Pistons and Celtics and Sixers, things like that. Bulls met the Jazz twice in a row, winning both times, which I was quite happy about.
Same.
Surprisingly. but having said that, yeah, I think I'm going to pick the Warriors in six.
I just think, like, you know, with the whole, because it's like, the last 2 years it's been Warriors and Cavs, and then like the previous 2 years it was the Heat and the Spurs. Mm-hmm. At some point, I think just some other team has to enter the mix there. Like, there has to be somebody, like, apart from LeBron and Steph Curry, that can lead their team to, you know, that greatness. But
if you think if the Hornets were the team to do this, do you think that crying Jordan might be replaced by smug Jordan?
Well, we know he'd put that seventh ring. And just to reiterate it to all the haters and to all the people that overuse that freaking meme.
Yeah.
I just...
Bleacher Report did a pretty good bonus scene for their latest Game of Zones that kind of took a shot at Curry from Jordan. So
I just...
On behalf of Jordan. So.
From like a team standpoint for the Bobcats, I'd be interested to see who their finals MVP would be, because it could
you
be...
You mean the Hornets?
Did I say Bobcats?
Yeah.
You did, yeah. I almost... I'm still trying to get over that myself,
It's the Adam Morrison jersey I have, but...
greatness.
Yeah, I'd just be interested to see who their finals MVP is, because you have Kemba Walker, who's a very good player. You have Al Jefferson, who I think is one of the better centers in the league and doesn't get anywhere near enough credit.
Yep.
And, yeah, a few other interesting role players that could, you know, step up their game in the playoffs. So
I think it might be like the 2004 Pistons. Yeah. I mean, not to compare those two teams, but... For the first couple of games, it was really Rip Hamilton, and then Chauncey Billups really took over, and then he got the MVP, or maybe even the Warriors last year. I mean, going into that series, Curry, the regular season MVP, and then it's Andre Iguodala who really makes a difference. And I've seen some people say that it was a disgrace that Curry didn't get finals MVP last year. He may be the best player on the team, but last year in the finals, the player making the difference was Iggy.
Yeah.
So he absolutely, you know, you can just imagine what the people... you know, isn't there a Twitter account that does retro tweets, like if, you know, retro NBA tweets about, you know, if Twitter existed back in this era, you know, when Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, haven't mentioned him in a while, when he won the 81 Finals MVP ahead of Bird, you know, that was just the way the series went, and that he, you know, he made the difference. He got the Finals MVP. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was definitely the best player in the 1980 Lakers. Magic Johnson was a rookie and certainly a fine player already, but Kareem was the, you know, the man. But then he goes down in during the course of the series, and Magic Johnson infamously starts at center and has that great game six and leads them to the victory. He gets the Finals MVP. I mean, you know, it can swing like that, and it doesn't necessarily have to go to the best player if they didn't necessarily have the biggest impact.
Yep.
And I think Iguodala definitely deserved MVP last year, the way he swung that series with the lineup of death, or the death lineup, or whatever you want to call that, the small ball lineup that certainly does kill a lot of teams.
Yeah, I think Iggy in general is pretty underrated as far as his value for the Warriors. Like, any given night, I think he's the second best player. I mean, when you look at somebody like Klay Thompson, I think you mentioned this to me like while we were playing Pro-Am, he can either be the hottest guy on the court or he just completely disappears. So,
is it the Splash Brother or the Trash Brother?
Yeah. So, and Draymond Green, well, he's pretty volatile himself, and you don't know whether he's going to help or hinder the team, at least in this playoff series. So, yeah, it's...
And it should be said that trying to wrestle Stephen Adams to the ground. And, at least he ended up on the worst end of that. Almost a, you know, talk about pro wrestling, almost a DDT there, smack into the court. But, you know, again, having said that, I have to pick the Warriors 4-2.
Yeah, I understand that. This is one of the reasons why I don't bet. Is that I never choose the right team. I choose the team I want. So that's, yeah. That's
thinking why, with your heart, not with your head.
Yeah, that's why I can't pick the Warriors. I'm okay with being wrong. I just can't, yeah, I can't do it.
Can't do it. Ben, did you want to throw out a prediction, a general prediction for the finals before we do our ball predictions?
No, because I don't really care who wins or loses at this stage. It's like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I was supporting the Warriors last year, and that, you know, it was, you know, they were the feel good story in that sense. But yeah, some of the way that the fans, and even the way Draymond Green's been the last few weeks, it's like, yeah, no, it's kind of killed it for me. Well, yeah, I suppose the only care I give about is one Aussie will win it, so yeah.
Yeah, another Aussie, so it'll be 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 years in a row, 2014, 2015, and this year, so, well, we do have that going for us, and we can claim that, so.
I would just like to add as well that I would like to see LeBron James win 4 or 5 rings, so, like, if he won 5, that would put to bed, like, all the arguments that people have about Kobe being a better player, because the only arguments they have, I think, are, well, I mean, they have a few, but the main one is, well, Kobe has 5 rings, and that's been the argument, that was the argument for a really long time when LeBron didn't have any.
Yeah.
So if LeBron matched him in that, they no longer have that argument, and quite frankly, I think LeBron has already had a better career than Kobe, just putting that out there.
Controversial, not, but I wouldn't necessarily disagree.
I just think all around, I mean, Kobe's obviously the better scorer, but LeBron, I think, has had a bigger
more
impact.
The better leader, perhaps.
Yeah, I think he's a better leader, particularly like the last few years. I think he's been really mature, and I can't really criticize him much anymore because he doesn't have any of those faux pas. Well, he doesn't have as many of them anyway. So,
yeah,
it's gotten to a point.
Once again, he was great in Trainwreck. I just want to throw that out one more time.
And his
and could be great in Space Jam too. Who knows?
The interview he did with J.R. Smith as well, when they were both sitting there, and he's like, they were like, oh, where do you get your, you know, it was about Biombo, and they were like, oh, what were you thinking when he did like the whole finger wag thing? He's like, well, he obviously got that from Mutombo, and I got my my fadeaway or whatever from Michael Jordan. I got my no look pass from Magic Johnson. I don't know where J.R. Smith got his fadeaway three from, and J.R. Smith said 2K. So yeah. I was like, that was one of the better moments of the playoffs for me. Like, for the fact that LeBron pretty much called him out on taking dumb shots.
It is kind of funny how, and I suppose I'm hypocritical because I suppose I've used the argument myself when people compare Michael Jordan and LeBron James about losing in the finals. But when you think about it, Julius Erving lost in the finals quite a lot, but people don't really bring that up. I guess because Dr. J is not really, well, he's considered an all-time great. He's not usually in the conversation as the best of all time. You know, that's usually a Jordan, a Chamberlain, a Russell, a Bird, Magic, and now Kobe Duncan and LeBron are kind of in that discussion as well for the younger fans, and they're certainly in the discussion, I would think, as being all-time. Certainly, they are all-time greats, whether they're the all-time best. I would still take Jordan, obviously, but yeah, when you think about it, there were quite a few players. Jerry West lost several times in the finals. So
Bernard King, did he even make it? I don't think he made it, did he?
Not to the finals, no.
Okay, and he's one of the all-time greats. I mean, I saw that documentary on him the other day, and it kind of reminded me how great he really was. So, yeah.
An omission from the top 50 players in 1996.
Yeah, that's it's a big name to leave off the list. Particularly since, like, he's one of the best players to play with the New York Knicks. They're one of the big franchises, so.
So before we wrap up, I've thrown out my prediction for the finals. You guys are going to abstain, so I guess the official line of the NLC podcast is Warriors in six.
I will say this: like, I kind of want to maybe play the evil role in not seeing Cleveland win a championship. That sort of continue that sort of that track record of it sort of continuing to happen. I know, just as a dark bit of humor, sort of. I know, just essentially just being a prick.
That's what you get for taking your talents away from South Beach, LeBron.
Yeah. But, you know, there's talk, you know, if LeBron does get his championship in Cleveland, he might return to Miami, or, you know, there was that story a few weeks ago. And, you know, maybe if, you know, the situation that happened around the Christmas time game was, you know, if things don't, or New Year's game, I think, you know, if things don't pan out at the end of this year, we'll reunite kind of thing. So, I know, kind of curious to see what happens, so it could either work either way, whether
Well, you know, LeBron sneezes and people take that as an indication of where he's going in the offseason. Speaking of which, Kevin Durant, do you guys think he moves on?
Yeah, I think there's been a huge disinterest there. It's kind of looking like how the Houston Rockets were, in a sense. They just... So I reckon it will, and then obviously you'll see Westbrook go when he becomes a free agent as well. So
it's kind of I don't dislike the Thunder as a lot of people do. I think people are still holding on to that. They should be in Seattle, which I don't necessarily disagree with. Although there's a lot to that story, including turning down taxpayers turning down a 1 cent increase to fund a new arena. We'll do anything to save the Sonics except spend money.
Yeah.
Which is also oversimplifying it from my end, I know. But people were saying, well, they got their comeuppance when they lost in the 2012 finals. So they moved almost 10 years ago. Are we still holding it against them? The only two players I believe that were on the team at the time, Kevin Durant and Nick Collison in the Seattle days. Everyone else is new, coaching staff and everyone. The owners are obviously the same, which is the main sticking point, I suppose. But it's just funny when people talk about, you know, people hating on the Warriors or hating on LeBron, which people do, don't get me wrong. But then I think, well, everyone seems to be hating on the Thunder, or posting a crying Jordan meme, or posting a Derrick Rose injury meme. And you know, what's hating and what's, you know, but I've ranted about that before. I'm sure I'll rant about it again, but it's getting late at night. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Durant moves on. I personally think he should go to a big market. Not necessarily New York or the Lakers, maybe the third biggest market in the US.
Chicago.
It is Chicago, yeah. and it's going to be fun to see what kind of contracts they're going to be handed out with this new salary cap, because they think the salary cap's going to balloon to $92 million. So
what's it at currently again? Sorry,
70.
70. Okay, so that's
So
big.
Basically, we're going to see a lot of kind of mid-tier guys who would normally get ran at maybe somewhere between 5 to 8 or 8 to 12 million. You know, 12 to 18 million is going to be the new mid-tier contract, I think.
So basically, what's his name? Damn it. The JJ Hickson salary.
Kind of, yeah. We're seeing the start of that, where years ago you'd say, oh, well, he's really overpaid, but comparatively speaking, now it's going to be, it's probably going to be fair. Although, yeah. Not to say that you can't criticize some of those deals, I'm sure. There'll be players that are still overpaid, relatively speaking. But
while we're talking about big players potentially moving on, there's also DeMar DeRozan as well. Like, yeah. He could get paid this summer.
Yeah.
So
there's apparently interest with the Lakers, and which I think Lakers fans are a bit split on whether that's a really great idea or not.
I don't know, because like, as much as I like DeMar DeRozan, he's not really he's not that Kobe kind of player where he can just...
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I
just see him as like a flashy dunker, in-game dunker.
I think he's more than that, but I think he's less than a max player.
Mm.
Like, Hassan Whiteside is probably going to get max as well. I don't know that he's a max player either. I mean, he's a rare commodity, but watching some of the struggles he had in the crunch time against the Hornets, and there's still not enough polish on the game, I think, for Whiteside to really justify him being like max players. I think a franchise guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Whiteside, valuable piece, but I'm not sure that he's a franchise guy to build around.
He definitely deserves more than the JJ Hickson.
He'll get that. He'll definitely get that from someone. Whether it's Heat or someone else, he'll definitely get that. So before we go to our bold predictions, Kenny, there's a rather sad and weird story developing this week that I know you've been looking into a little bit to see if you can get any more details. So I'll pass it over to you perhaps to introduce that story.
I'm sorry in advance if I pronounce this name wrong, but Bryce DeJean Jones... he was...
I think so. That's also why I handed you the mic, actually.
Right. So, yes, Bryce DeJean Jones, unfortunately, was shot and killed in Dallas, I believe it was. He accidentally broke into somebody else's house thinking it was his girlfriend's house, or at least, like, the mother of his child. And, yeah, it's just... one of the more bizarre and tragic stories that we've had in the last like few years in the NBA, I think. And I guess that's probably why I've been drawn to try and get as much information as possible about it, because it is so bizarre. And it's, it's just one of those things that's really hard to fathom, I guess.
It is. And it's as you said, it's one of those topics where you kind of avoid some of the comments.
Yeah, absolutely. On sites, yeah.
Very heated opinions, to say the least. And considering that none of us really have the full details, a lot of conclusions being jumped to. But as you said, it appeared that he broke into the wrong apartment. Well, obviously broke into the wrong apartment, but was trying to return after. I'm just reading some of the details here. Had an argument with a former girlfriend who he'd visited, who, as you said, has a child with, taken a walk following an argument and returned and broke into the wrong apartment and was calling for her. And the resident, obviously, afraid by somebody breaking in, retrieved a handgun and shot him dead. I don't really want to get really political, especially because I'm, you know, it's getting very late, really in the morning. Yeah. Thoughts are probably not as clear as they are. The bottom line is, yeah, it's just really unfortunate that it's such a horrible mistake to make for on his part to, you know, trying to get back into the trying to enter the wrong apartment.
And it's such
and frightening the resident and thinking that it was a intruder with bad intentions and so acting in self defense, and then it just all. Yeah, anything like that. It's just very unfortunate.
Basically. It's also such an extreme price to pay for that kind of, for that misunderstanding as well. Like,
yeah.
It's just, I have to admit, I didn't really know much about him, like, while he was alive and while he's playing with the Pelicans, but it's just one of those stories that just kind of hits pretty hard because it was a young guy, like, just starting out in his career, and by all reports, he was like coming a long way as well. Like he signed a multi-year contract after a couple of 10 days.
Yeah.
So he was obviously like, you know, he's kind of making his way in the NBA and even getting a few starting gigs Tariq Evans was injured. So yeah.
First active player to pass away since 2007 when Eddie Griffin, another sad story So killed in the accident there. I mean, people say, well, he shouldn't have been doing this, shouldn't be doing that, which is true. But like you say, it's a high price to pay for what could have been. I don't think there was any malicious intent on his part. It's not like he was, from all accounts, it doesn't sound like he was breaking in there to break in to that person's apartment. Yeah. He busted down the door of the wrong apartment to... I guess continue an argument, which you could say it wasn't necessarily. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a damn shame.
It's all speculation at this point. Like you know,
it is, that is unfortunately, as you said, and as I you know, to quote you on it again, it's one of those things where you don't read the comments because people got their take, and I guess hey, freedom of speech and everything, but We just don't know, but you know, thoughts with his family, I guess, and if he does have the young child with that former girlfriend, that's a shame that the child's not going to grow up with the father.
Yeah, condolences. Especially we send our condolences for sure.
But it's hard to transition out of that out of such a tragic story, but to end the show on a lighter note, it has come time to give our bold predictions, and that's not my best performance of bold predictions, but again, it's 1:30 in the morning. Our recording was held up. Hopefully you have enjoyed the show regardless. Always fun getting together to talk to you guys anyway. So before I really stumble over my words with the fatigue, we will throw out our bold predictions out there. As I said, my prediction was the Warriors Thunder series would go at least 6 games. It did, so I get a point. This is rare where I get a point and you guys don't. And Ben, you really went for broke by saying the Thunder in 6 and the Raptors in 7. We could have given you that at least a half a point if you got one of them right. Yeah. Unfortunately, neither panned out. And Kenny, Thunder in 5, and you inherited my jinx. So I'm now 7 of 25. Ben, you are 11 of 25. And Kenny, you are 3 of 7. So you're still shooting pretty well. I'm still putting together that Antoine Walker, Allen Iverson performance. So my bold prediction this week is that even though I said that the Warriors will take the series 4-2, that I will predict that the Cavs will take game 1 tomorrow. So there's my jinx for this week.
I'll say that the first 2 games will be split.
Okay, yep.
I reckon someone's going to have a bad game, whether it be bad shooting or turnovers.
So a notably bad game.
Yeah. From someone.
Okay. So you heard it here first. In a few hours, we'll know for sure who has jinxed whom and how we'll be doing after next week. We might have to transition into our trivia or another another fun game to end the shows on. But speaking of which, that has brought us to the end of episode number 161 of the NLSC podcast. Hope you enjoyed it once again. If you did, we invite you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. Just search for NLSC podcast in the app and you'll find us there. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And as always, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for more podcasts, file editions, all the releases from our modding community, the Friday Five, all of our columns, all of our original content. Just keep it locked and keep coming back, and we hope you enjoy what we're doing. But that will do it for this week. So until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And I'm Kenny.
And we all have the powers of the Jinx. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.